So you can turn to the Gospel of John tonight. Chapter 1. Last week we looked at John the Baptist. And we saw that his father Zacharias was a priest of the course of Abia. And he was serving in the temple when the angel came and told him he would have a son. I have an opinion, and it's totally and purely my opinion because it doesn't say in the word. But the high priest during this period of time was actually Annas and Caiaphas, and they were not true priests of the line of Aaron. They were installed by Herod. I believe that the high priest really was John the Baptist. He was truly of the line of Aaron. That's just my opinion. Take it for what you want. But at any rate, we're going to look here again at John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus Christ. So chapter 1, verse 19. And we remember that we noted that Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wonderful wife, were the ones that raised John the Baptist. And it talked about how upright and blameless they were in the law. So they were great people. Okay, verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." You know, they were always kind of looking for the Messiah. And I believe there were, in that period between Malachi and the Gospels, a couple of pretenders, guys that claimed to be. Of course, they weren't. But they were always looking for him. But they didn't look in the right places. But he said, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" Which would be Elijah. And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" That prophet would have been referring to the Old Testament, where God said to Moses, "I will raise up a prophet like unto you." And so they always referred to him as that prophet. Okay? And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ or Elias," which is Elijah, "neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Beth Abara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me." For for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Who sent John the Baptist? God, right? So he was receiving revelation concerning Jesus Christ. When he saw and he called him the Lamb of God. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Wow, what a great record. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. And verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. So this is, you know, he was preparing the people for Jesus Christ coming. And let's go to Matthew 3. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, one of the things I'd like to say is, this is the baptism of Jesus Christ. Baptism represented a cleansing, right? There were different ceremonial cleansings. When the priest went to offer the final sacrifice, he had to be cleansed. His clothes had to be cleansed, the whole deal. But then this coming down of the Holy Spirit was an anointing. If you hold your place here and go to Acts 10, we're going to go back to John. So you could just go to Acts 10 and then go back to John chapter 1. But Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It says here, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. There are three classifications of people that were anointed in the Old Testament. The first were priests. If you could remember back in Exodus when they finished the tabernacle and God told Moses what to do, one of the things he said was, Aaron will be a high priest and his sons will be priests. And he gave them specific clothing they were to wear. And then he told them to anoint them with oil. The second would be kings. Kings whom God chose were to be anointed by the high priest. David was anointed by Samuel, right? Solomon was anointed by the priest. A couple others. Then there were a couple of phonies that hired some priests to anoint them that weren't chosen of God. But so that's the way it is. The third group of people that were anointed were prophets, men of God. And it's not as obvious in the word, like, for instance, Elisha was anointed by Elijah when he threw his mantle on him. But in the context, when you read, you see that they were anointed with Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes not. Sometimes there is an anointing with oil, and sometimes there isn't. So, just depends. But here in the record of Jesus's baptism, he is cleansed by the water, and symbolically, as John the priest, John the Baptist, oversees it, he was in the line of Aaron, right? So he was really a priest, or he could have been a priest. And he was a Nazirite, so he was chosen by God from his birth. He oversees the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Jesus. Now, having said that, and thinking about the three classifications of people that get anointed, Jesus Christ is the high priest, so he was anointed. He was the king, right? He's considered the king, and he was considered a prophet. So all three categories he fits of anointings. If you hold your place here and go to Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 3 of Hebrews, it says in verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So here he is as the high priest. We go to Matthew chapter 13. And verse 57. It says, "And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Now, also in the Old Testament, we just read about that prophet. God said he would raise up a prophet like unto Moses, referring to the coming Messiah. So Jesus Christ was also a prophet. In Matthew chapter 2, and verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They had been told many, many, many years before concerning the star, and that it would be an indication of that coming one, the Messiah, and that he would be the king of Israel. And so they came to worship him. And then in Revelation, chapter 17, verse And verse 14, it says, these shall make war with the Lamb. Lamb being who? Jesus Christ. We saw that John called him the Lamb of God. And the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. So Jesus Christ was a priest, a king, and a prophet. Those three classifications of people that received anointing. So now we'll go back to John, the beginning of John. And of course, it said in verse 31, is that right? Yeah, and I knew him not, John speaking of Jesus Christ, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. So John's purpose and the purpose of God was to make Jesus known as the Son of God, and he was made be manifest to Israel. We continue on, you know, we saw the baptism. And now we're going to see the beginning of his ministry. We'll pick it up in uh, 35. It says, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. In the Acceptable Year of the Lord, page 99, Walter Cummins writes, John was a prophet, a voice or spokesman for God, who was sent to make the paths of the Lord straight for all to see the salvation of God. John the Baptist bore witness to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the one who was to baptize with Holy Spirit. He was preparing the way for all to see the coming salvation of God. So, here he goes, you know, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. So now we're going to get a little insight into Jesus Christ and his disciples. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Late in the afternoon or evening. But right away, he picks up a couple of disciples here. And, well, we read on, we see who they are. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And Messiah is the Hebrew, and Christ is the Greek for the same thing. It means the anointed. So I think here, which is being interpreted, the Christ is in the narrative, and it probably should be a parentheses, because it's just an explanation. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Could have called him Rocky. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. and findeth Philip. And saith unto him, follow me. So we had two disciples go and abide with Jesus Christ. One was Peter's brother, which was what? Andrew. And there was another one that was unnamed. And then he goes and gets Peter. So there are three. And then Philip, who was up Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. And they found him, and Jesus Christ said, follow me. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So, he's got, we know that the four that are named are with him, who later on become apostles. We don't know about the unnamed guy, if he continued with him or not, or who he was. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Well, that's a pretty nice thing to say. He says, no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Wow, he was pretty quick. You know, they responded to him. They had the heart, and, you know, Jesus Christ was walking by revelation, and these guys, and he was certainly well-versed in the Old Testament and the understanding of how the prophets raised up people and taught. You know, they had followers. We saw the school of the prophets. We saw different prophets raising up individuals. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing. He's collecting these guys. Jesus answered unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Wow. So now Jesus has, anyway, four disciples that are named, possibly one unidentified one also, who are traveling with him. And they recognized him as the Christ or Messiah, as the Son of God, as that prophet that was prophesied of Moses, and addressed him as Rabbi, which is a title of respect, meaning master or teacher, which in our culture, you know, we associate a certain respect for people in certain professions. In our society today, what we would call professionals, like doctors, lawyers, well, not so much lawyers, but doctors, engineers, scientists, everybody, you know, has them in high regard, or somebody that makes a lot of money. But in the Eastern culture, the greatest profession was a teacher. That was the highest that you could be. That was the one that got the most respect. So they called him Rabbi. And that was a big deal. So, chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So now these guys are traveling with him. They're his companions. They see who he is. They're latching on and they're not letting go. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. That sounds like he's being disrespectful, but he's not. There's an explanation. I don't remember it exactly. If you go in Walter Cummins, The Acceptable Year of the Lord, and look this up, he explains it. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Firkin is a measurement of volume in the, I guess in English, the Old English or something. Kind of a silly word. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. And obviously the reason for that is once you have a few drinks and you're a little tipsy, you don't know the difference between good wine and bad wine. But the wine that Jesus Christ made from water must have been incredible. He says, thou hast kept the good wine until now. The guy probably thought, I did put out the good wine. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Well, you know, that's pretty cool. He brought them along. They were invited, but he brought them along, and they got to see him in action. Now, they'd already seen him, you know, speak to them, and they were amazed at his ability. You know, like Nathaniel, he knew he was under a tree, and that got him going. And Peter and Andrew and the other guy, whoever he was, they were excited because John told them that he was the man, the Lamb of God. And of course, John was already pretty well known for doing what he did, and he had disciples of his own. So they were already in, and now they see this show and tell. You know, it's the greatest way to teach somebody, really. They hear you speak, but then they see you act and see you do things. So they saw what he did, and they believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. You know, they stayed there a couple days. This is before Jesus Christ moved into Capernaum as a place of residence, but it's where Peter and Andrew came from. But you notice that his mother and his brethren, his brothers, were also with him. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of the money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Okay, he made a scourge of small, like a little whip. right? He didn't hit the people with it, he hit the animals. He drove out the sheep and the oxen. And then he said unto them that sold doves, to the guys that were selling the stuff, the vendors, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That is a quote from Psalm 69:9. So they saw him do this. Again, they're learning, aren't they? He's taken a stand for God. He's bold. He's not afraid. And he's doing things that they've never seen before. And it brings to remembrance a scripture. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto him, unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. It's a pretty bold statement. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Again, later after his resurrection, his disciples recalled this. So obviously this is didn't happen at that moment, right? But later on, this is what we call a digression. It's out of context, but it's like a parenthetical phrase, and it gives us information in the narrative. So when his disciples remembered that he had said this. So verse 22 is kind of like a parenthesis. You could put a parenthesis in there. When he was risen from the dead, obviously at this point in time in the narrative, he's not even been crucified yet. So now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name, and when they saw the miracles which he did, I guess he did more miracles. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So that's the Passover that he went to at the beginning of his ministry. Now in chapter 3, Jesus Christ is visited by Nicodemus, a Pharisee. And he explains about receiving Holy Spirit and being born again. The question is, were the disciples with him, who he had invited to abide with him and, you know, had gone to Jerusalem with him, were they there at this time when Nicodemus came? If they were, they really got a great bit of teaching. You know, because he taught about being born again. He taught about receiving Holy Spirit. However, the Word of God does not tell us whether they were there or not. So we don't know. But let's go to verse 22. Now, it says, after these things. So this occurs after the record in chapter 2 concerning Jesus Christ being in Jerusalem for the Passover, and after he talks with Nicodemus. So it says, after these things, the Passover feast, the Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the meeting with Nicodemus. He left with his disciples, and they are traveling with him. So it's a possibility that they were there. We don't know 100%. Now, following this, we have an interesting record concerning John the Baptist teaching his disciples. So after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Okay. He didn't really do the baptizing, his disciples did. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And that's an area north, up towards Galilee. You can look on a map. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. So these disciples of John are concerned because Jesus and his disciples has taken some of their business, I guess. Really what it was is they loved John and they were his disciples and they didn't understand. So John explains it to them. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. So that's a pretty, you know, he's a prophet, right? And he's telling them the truth. He says, this man, this Jesus Christ, this Jesus, the one I bear witness of, he's going to get bigger and stronger, and I am going to become less and less. He will increase, but I must decrease. In other words, he sees the end of his ministry and the growth of Jesus Christ's ministry. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from a heaven cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that receiveth hath received his testimony, hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now that's a pretty great statement there. Remember, John was born with Spirit. He was the only one that was born with Spirit. And he said, God giveth not the Spirit to him by measure. In other words, he got more than anybody else. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son. Okay, now verses 35 and 36 are not John speaking anymore. This again is a digression, or a parenthetical phrase. Because again, this had not been declared yet, and everlasting life and, you know, eternal life had not been made available yet. So he says, the Father loveth the Son and giveth all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So again, that's a point of explanation in the narrative. So but it's clear he's making a clear declaration on what's going to come to pass. And he tells his disciples. And that must have had a tremendous impact on John's disciples. He's teaching them about Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. That's why I knew that, because I knew this was coming. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Joseph, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So that's about noontime, right? And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Woohoo! For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So all this time, through all this, you know, his disciples were with him. He went and they were baptizing and they were with him. And then he decides to go back to Galilee and he has to go through Samaria. So again, his disciples are with him. And when they get to the well, Jesus says, you go into the town, buy some food, and I'll sit here and wait for you. And then he sees the woman and he asks her for water. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Yeah, they were kind of prejudiced. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou hast now, thou now hast, is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And there's another place where it says he's a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not. What? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. She's getting quite a teaching there herself, isn't she? And she's amazed because he tells her everything about herself. Well, how did he know? Because God told him. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Again, which is called Christ is probably a parenthesis, because they mean the same thing. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So that's a straightforward telling of who he is, which when the Pharisees asked him, he wouldn't give him a straight answer. But this woman he did. And upon this came his disciples. So they got back from town with the food and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? You know, they were afraid to ask him. But, you know, in that culture, in that time, that would have been very unusual for him to speak to a woman like that. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which I told, who told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So it caused quite a stir in that city. And, well, great things happened. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They're kind of puzzled by this. They think he's talking about physical meat, and he's talking about something else. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So now he's teaching them. He's telling them something important. Say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So he's beginning to teach these disciples about what they're going to do, that they're going to be the harvesters. So that was a great teaching they got there. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. So the disciples got to see a lot of great things happening here. And they're just starting out. They're fledglings. They don't really know what they're in for, but they're getting quite an education. Okay. Verse 42. We'll finish this up. And he said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So remember it said he did many miracles there, or he did miracles there. So these Galileans were there because all the males in Israel were supposed to go to Jerusalem for the feasts, and they were there and they saw it. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my son my child die. Sir, come down before my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. And as he was now going, down his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And he himself believed, and his whole house. This again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Okay, we're going to stop there. But these disciples that he picked up along the way, and, you know, we know the four by name. We know Peter and Andrew and Philip and Nathaniel. We don't know if there were others that started to follow along, but certainly those four. And they got quite an education right off the bat. He didn't slow down. He didn't have an orientation for him. He just kept going, kept moving. We also saw John and how he taught his disciples about Jesus Christ. So these guys were amazing in how they lived their lives and how they were with their disciples, how they taught them all the time and were great examples to them. So that's where we're going to leave off tonight. And we'll pick up somewhere next week with Jesus Christ and his disciples.